Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
On Wednesday, April the 18th, 1906, a devastating earthquake measuring 7.8 on the Richter scale hit the San Francisco Bay Area. It changed the lives of so many from that point forward. Over 225,000 were left homeless. 700 were confirmed dead, and as many as 3,000 died as a result of injuries that were sustained that day. The interesting thing in regard to that earthquake from a spiritual standpoint is that a large number of those individuals were in some sort of a worship service at that given time, or also, as we look back, the Sunday before, so many even were in attendance with members of the Lord's church. One gospel preacher is quoted as saying that if he had only known that just a few days later an earthquake would hit and that many who were in their attendance service would lose their life, he would have changed the things that he said that morning that might have provoked the thoughts of individuals. Today I ask, how many sermons have you heard proclaimed from God's Word? What is it that it will take in order to move you if you are on a lost state with God? How many lessons will it take in order to provoke your thoughts or to move you from your current condition to a saved relationship with our God? This week I put a lot of thought in regard to if this were the last lesson that I had to proclaim before the congregation. If my life were to end today, what is it that I would want to communicate to each and every one of you, but not only to those who are in the presence here today, to those who might listen to us from the television. Today, I have a message that I believe that God wants every one of us to understand in regard to Him. To begin with, the message would center in and around those who identify as agnostics or atheists. An agnostic is an individual who claims that there is insufficient evidence to prove one way or the other if there is a God. An atheist is those who just downright out say that there is no God. And to those individuals, I would begin by asking and saying, why do you believe? Why do you hold to a belief that there is no God? You know, the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And could it be in regard to the things that you hope that you hold to, is that you have studied from a secular standpoint, but yet at the same time, you've never been able to come to the truth? Why? Because you have not centered your thoughts in regard to a true consideration in regard to the existence of God. And therefore, to those who claim to be atheists, or those who are skeptical, questioning whether there is a God, today I want to beg and to plead unto you that you would put forth an effort to truly examine all of the evidence, to put aside the theories of evolution, these man-made concepts, and to really and truly study from the Bible, to give it a chance, to look and to see why it is that those of us who are New Testament Christians, why we stand and say that without any question there is a God. Read and study the Bible and see in regard to the things that God has said concerning Himself in and through the Scripture, but also not only study the internal evidence of the Scripture. Today, I would encourage those who are atheists or agnostics to study the external evidence, the creation itself, from the standpoint of science even, to see in regard to the fact as to the way in which God reveals Himself. But also, individuals who are atheists or agnostics, I want you to consider the consequences of being wrong. You say that you are right and that you are okay, and that whenever a man dies, is that he's like the dog Rover who's dead all over. His life is no more. But the Bible very clearly identifies is that whenever a man dies, it is not over. In fact, the Bible identifies to us is that there is a soul that resides within mankind, and in death the soul separates from the body. And what if you are wrong? In the day that you stand before God in judgment, you will hear, "Depart from me, You workers of iniquity, or depart from me. I never knew you. And that, because of the fact of what the Bible says and because of what we believe 100%, today I implore those who are atheists or agnostics to open your heart to a true reasoning in regard to God. And put aside those things that you have been taught and those things that you have held to for many years as you read and study from the Bible and as you study the evidence that God has given concerning Himself. Reason from a rational standpoint as to the existence of God. Those are some things that I would encourage if this were my last lesson to those who hold to the fact or to an idea that there is no God. But friends, also, we live in an age today where many do believe in God. And there are a part of denominations, a part of the denominational world. And to these individuals, I also have a question. And that question is why are there so many different churches? And why do we find in all of these different churches is that there are all of these different beliefs that are going on? Why do we have over 2,400 different people who claim to believe in God, but yet they go in different ways? Why do we have all of this religious division? And today, to those who are involved in denominational churches, I want to encourage you to examine your church's practices in relation to the New Testament Scripture. The things that you do in regard to worship, can you find those things in Scripture? And I believe that if you will look, you will find is that they did not have instrumental music in New Testament worship in the first century. And therefore, in the Lord's church today, we do not have instrumental music. Do you find in your church that you are worshiping God with an instrument that is not authorized? Do you find in the way in which you believe, not only in regard to the way in which you worship, but what about the things that are taught from a church doctrine standpoint about God's plan of redemption? In the denominational world, the majority say is that you're saved by faith conjoined with a sinner's prayer. I challenge those in the religious world to look into the Bible and find where God says that you're saved by faith only. In fact, the only time that faith and only are found together in the New Testament Scripture is in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 24. And what James says is that man is not justified by faith only. Read and study the Bible. Examine the Scripture in comparison to the things that you are taught, the doctrines that your church holds to. And be fair when you look at those things and study things within the context. And to understand is that the Bible is not open to mankind's interpretation, our own personal take on the Scripture. Time and time again, we hear people in the denominational world, we hear all kinds of religionists tell us, well, that's the way that you believe it in the Church of Christ. You believe your way, I believe my way. We're both going to the same place, but we're just taking different directions. Friends, God does not have different roads that lead to heaven. He has one way, and that way is Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior. And it is established upon the things that He has said to us. The Bible's not open to personal interpretation or denominational interpretation, but rather the Bible must be studied within the context. And as we study it within the context of the Scripture of which God has given it, we must arrive at the interpretation that God sets forth. And friends, we need to understand that we cannot belong to a denomination, to a man-made church, and expect to be able to stand right before God in the day of judgment. Why? Because according to what the Bible says, Jesus Christ only established one church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Lord says, I will build my church, singular, possessive pronoun. I will build my church and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. You cannot be a part of a denomination and be right in the sight of God. We must be in the Lord's church and be faithful members of that church in order for us to be able to stand before God and to be able to dwell eternally in heaven with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, Jesus said, "When the end comes, I will deliver up the kingdom, a singular kingdom. The Lord's church will be handed back up unto the Father in that day, and it's only those who are a part of that kingdom that will be saved in the end." Friends, in the denominational world today, I beg and I plead unto you, search the Scripture and see what it is that the Lord says in regard to salvation, worship, and His true body. And depart from the things that you find that are amiss. And embrace those things that you learn to be truth in the Scripture. But you know, as we think about those who are lost, my mind also goes to those who are alien sinners. Those who maybe believe, but still at the same time, they're not a part of any group at all. And in that, my question to those individuals today would be, what hinders you from believing in God? What is it that you have allowed to keep you from not only believing, but what is it that you have allowed to keep you from becoming a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And what we find when we consider this is that most people are so involved in their life in making a living or laying up goods for the future. And as a result of that, they pushed God out because they've allowed their lives to be filled with so many other things. And these things, they say, brings pleasure to their life. And friends, today I tell you that whenever it comes to the world, the flesh, the materialism, the money, all of those things only are temporary pleasures. The money, if you've been in this world long enough, you're going to see is that it comes and it goes. When it comes to material items, they wear out. They don't last forever. And the satisfaction that one receives as a result of getting these things in your life, it also passes with time. And therefore, we need to understand that the only thing that you and I can have any hope in is Jesus Christ in this life, but also Jesus Christ in the life that is to come. Jesus Christ, our Lord, offers peace that surpasses anything, any type of a blessing, any type of a pleasure that this world would have to offer. And friends, He offers peace that surpasses all understanding. And that peace is to know that you have the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. And having that forgiveness of the Heavenly Father, that we're now able to look beyond this life into an eternal life in heaven with Him someday. To those who are in the world and you are indifferent in regard to the way that you look at God and you think about Him, today I challenge you that if you're challenged by the world, give God a chance to change your life. You've given the world a chance, and the world's failed you in many ways, and it will if it's not. Give God a chance to make a difference in your life, and He will give your life meaning. He will give your life purpose that this world cannot even start to offer you. But let's be honest also. We talked about those who are atheist, agnostic. We've considered those in the denominational world and even aliens in the world, alien sinners in the world. But even in the Lord's church, there are individuals who are not faithful to the Lord. We have brothers and sisters who are erring members of the body of Christ. And if this were my last sermon before you today, to those who are outside of Christ, erring brothers and sisters, I want to ask you, how often do you think about your relationship with God? Or do you even think about your relationship with God? When you think about where you once were when you put Christ on in baptism, or where you once were whenever you might have been a vital member, a vital part of the church, is that your life was centered in and around the church, but now you're not. Do you ever think about that? Those moments where you believed 100%, where you were involved, fully committed, and what all of that meant in comparison to where you are today. Do you think about standing before God in judgment, having obeyed the gospel but turned aside? Do you ever think about how you will answer God and the excuses that you lay forth in that time that these things will not be valid? And today, as I stand before you as a brother in Christ, I want you to know that your church family, we love you. We care about you. We pray for you on a continual basis that you will wake up and see the error of your way. That you will wake up, that you will come to your senses like the prodigal son. And you will see that there's a fork in the road and that you can stay where you are and die spiritually, still remain separated from God. Or you can choose to go home and to be restored in the sight of God, to have a renewed relationship with our Heavenly Father. God loves you and we love you and we care about you. And not only do we care about you and we love you, friends, we also need you here at East End. You are a vital member. We see your potential. We want to use your talents to the glory of God's name. And the decision is yours as to what you're going to do with it. You know, the Bible identifies concerning those who walk away from Him is that God stands willing and ready to forgive us of our sin. Sometimes people will stay where they are, lost. Erring members will just not respond. Why? Because maybe they beat themselves up. They say, I'm not worthy. In fact, isn't that what the prodigal son says? I'm not worthy to be counted as a son. He says, I'll go back and I'll be a servant. And I don't even know that he counted himself worthy of that. And the truth of the matter is, none of us is worthy before God in comparison to who He is. But yet at the same time, we find that God loves us so much that He's always willing and ready to take us back. But same time, we are the ones who must make that first move. This morning in our class, we were studying from the book of Zechariah. And Zechariah identified to Judah, he says, you return to me and I will return to you. And friends, that's the way that it still works today. If we want to have hope in the day of judgment, to be counted as a faithful child of God, He calls upon us to return to Him. And in so doing, He returns back to us as our loving Heavenly Father. And today, if this were my last lesson, the thing that I would want our erring brothers and sisters to hear is to repent and to come home while you still have that opportunity. The time will come when your last chance to hear a lesson will be no more. The time will come where you will hear the lesson and you may go out and you may die of a heart attack, die in a car accident. The truth of the matter is, we don't have forever, but what we do have is right here and now. And for our erring brothers and sisters in Christ, we want you to know God stands willing to forgive you. We want you back. And the choice is yours as to whether or not you will respond. But there's another group that I want to speak to this morning, and that is to our faithful members of the church. To those who continue to live their life in accordance to the will of God. To you, I want to encourage you this morning to hold fast to your professed faith. Whenever you put Christ on in baptism, you made that great confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Hold on to that profession. Continue not only to tell others about it, but continue to live worthy of the calling of which we've been called in Jesus Christ our Lord. And flee. Turn away from. Don't even go near the evil allurements of this world. Understand that these things have destroyed our erring brothers and sisters. That these things are keeping those in the world from becoming children of God. And if they're having that devastating impact upon those who are lost friends, you and I can also be influenced by them and pulled in so easily. And therefore, we need to stay away from all of those things that can hinder our relationship with our God. And therefore, my message to our faithful brothers and sisters in Christ today is continue to fight. the good fight of faith. I remember whenever I was a young boy, I was just a typical boy. We see some of these young guys running around from time to time, and they talk about the trouble they get in at home or maybe from school from time to time. And I was kind of a typical boy. I got in my skirmishes and things and little mismatches and fights and such. And looking back on those, none of them were any fights worth fighting. But today, as I stand before you, I tell you that there is a fight that is worth fighting. It is indeed a good fight, as Paul said. It's a good fight of faith. And we need to keep on fighting to know that we're battling continually against the devil. He's the one that we're duking it out with. Keep on fighting the good fight until the day in which our life is here upon this face, or upon the face of the earth no more. To our faithful members in Christ, I want you to know today that your devotion to God is an encouragement to me and an encouragement to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And in part, it's because of what you do that enables me and enables others to do what we all do in Christ. We feed off of one another. We fuel off of those also who are fueled off of others. We keep on marching forward for the cause of Christ because of our love for the Lord, but because of the camaraderie, because of the fellowship that we have with each other in the Lord. If this were my last lesson, if my life upon the face of the earth end today, I would want those who are atheists and agnostics to really and truly consider the evidence of God and to accept Him after they come to the point of true reasoning in the Scripture and with life. To those in the denominational world, I would want you to really and truly not just accept your man-made theology, but to really and truly investigate the Scripture in the context and to see what the Lord has said. And don't say, well, I'll interpret it however I want. Take it in the interpretation of which the Scripture has given it strictly and embrace those things and come away from denominationalism. To those who are in the world, understand that this world is not the end, that this world will leave you hopeless, and that it's only in Christ that we can have peace, and that it's only in Christ that our lives are filled up with purpose and meaning. And to our erring brothers and sisters in Christ, please consider where you will stand before God in the end, and take the initiative, have the courage to come home and to realize is that you have brothers and sisters in Christ here who are willing to embrace you as the Lord forgives you. And to our faithful members, keep on keeping on. Keep on running the Christian faith until the very end. If you're here this morning, you're outside of the body of Christ, subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come.